I'm Michael Metter with Rushi Lane Farms in Nacogdoches, Texas. You're listening to the latest news in Texas agriculture on Texas Ag Today.
This is Texas Ag Today, the number one source for the latest news in Texas agriculture. The largest and most experienced farm news team in the Lone Star State covers it all. From the piney woods of East Texas to the rocky ranges of the Trans-Pecos, and from the Panhandle down to the Rio Grande Valley. Here's today's top stories.
Some parts of Texas have gotten big rains over the last couple of weekends. We'll go to the Concho Valley for a weather update coming up to kick off today's show.
As the state of Texas looks for ways to reduce the wildfire threat, there's a lot of focus on issues involving electricity. I'm James Hunt, and we'll talk about that on Texas Ag Today.
The U.S. Trade Representative addresses concerns that the administration isn't doing enough for agricultural trade. I'm Jessica Domel, and I'll have that story coming up on Texas Ag Today.
Now, here's the host of Texas Ag Today, Carrie Martin.
Hello, Texas. Why don't you jump on in with me and buckle up? We're going to take a ride around the Lone Star State as we cover the most important industry in this greatest state in the nation, Texas agriculture. Be sure to hold on tight because it all starts right now. Lots of rain fell across a big part of the state over the weekend. We checked in with agronomist Kevin Meeks with Helena Agri Enterprises in the Concho Valley.
We've caught a couple rains over the last two weekends. I would say between a half inch and an inch in areas, but this last Saturday night, it really kind of broke loose around the Concho Valley. Reports of 2 tenths to 2 inches. You go up to Abilene, north of Abilene, 2 to 4 inches in spots. Talking to one of my guys up around Benjamin, and they got reports of 8 inches up there, and water was running pretty good. So, you know, really spotty in some areas, but moisture profile outside of the Concho Valley, I would say, looks pretty good.
Kevin, have you heard of any hail damage to wheat?
Yes, sir. I was talking to a guy up around Haskell this morning, and there was some hail over there. I know Saturday night there was reports around Roscoe and Sweetwater, some hail, but the wheat that didn't get hailed out that has been fertilized and had good moisture, I mean, there's some really good potential, some of this wheat, I would say Abilene North.
That's Kevin Meeks with Helena Agri Enterprises. He's based in the San Angelo area. The state's largest farm organization is now offering grants to provide agricultural mechanic and metal technologies educators with additional resources to grow their students' skills.
Texas Farm Bureau's Ag Mechanics grants are open to certified, active 9th through 12th grade teachers in a Texas public school or accredited non-public secondary educational institution who address ag mechanics, metal technologies, ag structures design and fabrication, ag equipment design and fabrication, or agricultural power systems, TEKS. 10 $2,500 grants will be awarded. The deadline to apply is August 1st. Additional details are available on the Texas Farm Bureau website. For the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network, I'm Jessica Domel.
As Texas continues to recover from the devastating Panhandle wildfires, the Texas Department of Agriculture is thanking their valued counterparts in other state ag departments around the nation. Texas Commissioner of Agriculture Sid Miller says he'd like to give a Texas-sized thank you to fellow states for having our backs. The Alabama Ag Department delivered 27 loads of hay, totaling 546 round bales. The South Carolina Ag Department and in-state partners donated 12 tractor-trailer loads of hay, consisting of 402 bales. The state of Texas is looking for ways to reduce the wildfire threat. James Hunt tells us there's a lot of focus on issues involving electricity.
In yesterday's report, State Representative Ken King of Canadian described how quicker access to firefighting aircraft is needed to diminish the damage caused by wildfires. But to prevent wildfires, Representative King wants more inspection of power poles and electrical lines, including lines at older oil and gas sites.
Most of the oil and gas producers are very good actors. And, you know, I'm in the oil and gas service business. But when you get over to these stripper well fields that don't produce, and it's a 100-year-old field, they all have electricity running from the highway, from the utility, over to their little pump jack. And they're not maintained. We have bare wires. We have wires rubbing in tree branches, which is what started the Windy Deuce fire. So the Railroad Commission comes out and inspects, and they say, hey, this could be a hazard. But the Railroad Commission doesn't feel like they have the ability to enforce electrical code. I want them to have that authority. If you've got a bad actor out there and they've got a hazard that is blatant, we need the ability to sever power to that well until the corrections are made.
And that expanded authority is on the list of what Representative King plans to propose for the next session of the state legislature, along with other items like more funding for volunteer firefighters. Representative King has been chairing a special committee investigating the Panhandle wildfires. Now, before we close, here's a quick note about QuickBooks. AgriLife is offering a workshop on QuickBooks accounting software May 18th in Borger. For more information, search online with the words AgriLife QuickBooks Borger. I'm James Hunt on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
The U.S. Trade Representative addressed concerns that the administration isn't doing enough for agricultural trade. Jessica Domel has the story.
U.S. farm organizations and lawmakers are urging the Biden administration to do more to enhance agricultural trade and address a growing trade deficit. At a recent House Ways and Means Committee hearing with U.S. Trade Representative Katherine Tai, Committee Chair Jason Smith expressed his disappointment in the current trade situation.
The administration has continued to pursue a trade agenda that ignores Congress to the detriment of the American worker and American leadership on trade. The Ways and Means Committee has held filled hearings across the United States where we've heard about how the administration has failed to secure our critical supply chains, level the playing field for American farmers and workers, and reassert America's global leadership role. The United States is rapidly losing ground to China. We must act quickly to right the ship and put workers and American job creators at the center of an effective trade agenda. This starts with strict enforcement of all our existing trade agreements, especially the USMCA agreement. Unfortunately, the Biden administration has failed for the last 3 years to hold our trading partners accountable. It took years of congressional engagement to finally get this administration to bring a case against Mexico GMO corn ban. To make matters worse, when I speak to farmers in my home state of Missouri, they often refer to America as the world's breadbasket. But lately, they feel more like the world's cash cow. You can understand my concern when the U.S. agriculture trade deficit reached a staggering $21 billion in 2023.
Ambassador Tai said the Biden administration feels strongly that economic policies should work to strengthen the middle class and that to ensure all Americans get a fair shot, they need to ensure broad-based access to economic opportunity.
To respond to the many changes occurring in the modern economy, and the world in general, we must bring a more open mind and be willing to innovate in the way that we approach trade policy, by questioning and testing old assumptions, revisiting norms, and thinking creatively and strategically all at the same time.
Tai said middle-out, bottom-up trade policy uses trade to empower workers because they're the backbone of the economy.
This is about building our middle classes together with other countries and not pitting them against each other.
The ambassador told the committee that through the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement, the administration is championing the interests of U.S. farmers and ranchers.
We have pursued two cases now against Canada's dairy tariff rate quota allocation measures, and we are currently in the midst of challenging Mexico's restrictive measures on biotech corn before a panel. We are also opening markets for hardworking American families and communities, especially our rural communities. Through negotiations, our administration has secured over $21 billion in new agricultural market access in the last 3 years. For example, after the U.S. and India terminated 7 disputes at the WTO last year, India also agreed to remove retaliatory tariffs on several U.S. products. This means improved access for chickpeas, lentils, almonds, walnuts, and apples, benefiting farmers across the country, including Michigan, Oregon, California, and Washington. This means more market access for turkey, duck, blueberries, and cranberries, benefiting our farmers in North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Virginia, Massachusetts, and Minnesota. Trade should work for all Americans. Our goal is to stop pitting Americans against each other in our trade policy.
That was U.S. Trade Representative Catherine Tai. For the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network, I'm Jessica Domel.
After a good amount of rain in certain regions of Texas in the month of April, the month of May shows that more rain is on the way. I'm Tom Nicoletti, and we'll have the forecast from the National Weather Service on Texas Ag Today.
And anthrax has been reported in a sheep in Schleicher County. Dr. Bob Judd has more on that coming up.
These stories, plus a look at the markets, are straight ahead on Texas Ag Today.
If you're a Texas farmer or rancher with an unreimbursed loss from the recent wildfires, you can apply for assistance from the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. Unreimbursed losses include but are not limited to livestock, feed, fences, and equipment. Additional expenses such as temporary pastures will also be considered. Completed applications must be submitted by May 31st to your local county Farm Bureau office or directly to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. For more details, go to TexasFarmBureau.org.
Keeping Texas farmers and ranchers informed for over two decades, this is Texas Ag Today on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
April was a good month for rainfall in many areas of Texas, and more is on the way. Tom Nicoletti checks in with a National Weather Service meteorologist for the forecast.
Farmers and ranchers are looking for either more spring precipitation or for drying out, depending on their location in the state. We go to a meteorologist in charge at the National Weather Service in Fort Worth, Tom Bradshaw. And Tom, certainly the recap for April shows that Texas had plenty of rainfall in various regions and some storms as we headed into May.
That's certainly the case. April is normally one of our wettest months of the year, and that was certainly the case this past month. We saw rainfall amounts anywhere from 150% to even 300% of normal across a good part of north central, central, and east central Texas during the month of April. The downside is that many areas in the deep south of the state, the Rio Grande Valley, parts of the Big Bend region, far west Texas, still remain quite dry. They missed out on a lot of the beneficial rains that we had this past month, so the drought are still showing things pretty dry out in the western areas as well as the southern parts of the state.
So now we're into May. What is the forecast for precipitation and temperatures?
Well, May is normally one of the wetter months of the year for the state of Texas, and we are looking at above normal rainfall expected across a good part of the state, particularly the central and eastern parts of the Lone Star State during May. We really need to see some rain in the hill country areas further south into the Rio Grande Valley and out in the Big Bend. We're hopeful we'll see maybe some improvement in those areas. All areas of the state should see a little bit more rainfall than what we've seen in the past. Temperature-wise, we'll be a little bit above normal for the month of May, so we'll start seeing the daytime highs getting up well up into the 80s and even some 90s across a good part of the state by the time we get into the middle and latter parts of the month of May.
That is National Weather Service meteorologist Tom Bradshaw in Fort Worth. He'll join us again on our next program. I'm Tom Nicoletti with the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
Anthrax has been reported in a sheep in Schleicher County. Dr. Bob Judd has more.
The first case of anthrax this year in Texas has been reported in Schleicher County in a crossbred sheep. The area is northwest of El Dorado in southwest Texas, and it is not unusual for cases of anthrax to be found in this area. The disease is typically found in a triangular area bound by the towns of Uvalde, Ozona, and Eagle Pass. The premise of infection has been quarantined, and proper disposal of the carcass is required before the release of the quarantine. Anthrax is a bacterial disease caused by the bacteria Bacillus anthracis. Dr. Bud Dinges, state veterinarian and head of the Texas Animal Health Commission, indicates protecting animal and human health is key when handling zoonotic diseases like anthrax. Zoonotic diseases are those that can be transmitted from animals to people, and anthrax is one of those. He goes on to say that diligent efforts to reduce human exposure to anthrax and vaccinate susceptible animals before they are infected are ongoing. If you suspect anthrax in your herd, contact your local veterinarian or the Texas Animal Health Commission. An increase in anthrax cases after periods of wet, cool weather, followed by hot and dry conditions, is common. Animals usually ingest the bacteria when they consume contaminated grass or hay, and can even become infected by inhaling the spores. After exposure to anthrax, animals usually develop symptoms in 3 to 7 days, and death usually occurs in 48 hours. Symptoms include acute fever with rapid death and bloody discharge from body openings immediately at the time of death is common. If you have an animal that you suspect has anthrax, do not open the carcass, as this will allow spread of the bacteria, and always wear gloves and long-sleeve shirts when dealing with the carcass.
I'm Dr. Bob Judd. This is the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
We'll check the markets coming up next on Texas Ag Today.
If you're a Texas farmer or rancher with an unreimbursed loss from the recent wildfires, you can apply for assistance from the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. Unreimbursed losses include, but are not limited to, livestock, feed, fences, and equipment. Unreimbursed additional expenses such as temporary pastures will also be considered. Completed applications for assistance must be submitted by May 31st to a local county Farm Bureau office or directly to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. For more details, go to texasfarmbureau.org.
Here's the latest market information on Texas Ag Today.
Let's take a look back at how the markets wrapped up on Tuesday. The volatility continues in cattle futures. Some days are strongly higher, some days strongly lower. Well, it was one of those strongly lower days, lower in both live and feeder cattle. June live cattle down 217, closing at 174.97. The August down 257, 173.10. Feeder cattle getting hit hard. May feeders down 345, 244.57. August down 412 at 255.50. September down 425, 256.47. Cash-fed cattle sales all quiet on a Tuesday, as we usually see each week. No bids or asking prices to report so far. Boxed beef prices were mixed. Choice down $1.49, $2.96.04. Select up 70 cents at $2.90.91. Now let's check the auction barns. We're walking the pens with Larry Marble.
Rodney Butler, Beeville Livestock, sells them on Friday. Rodney, how was that last sale?
Sale went real well. I thought the calf market was probably 10 to 20 cents higher in some places. So we had good cattle and they sold good, sir.
Walk the pens with us.
All right, we had 527 head of cattle, no horses, and 12 goats. And that whole market was active. Your 200, 300 pound steers were 294 to 355. Heifers were 224 to 295. Your 300 to 400 pound steers were 284 to 320. Heifers, 218 to $3. Your 400 to 500 pound steers were 275 to 310. Heifers, 250 to 281. 500 to 600 pound steers, 253 to 295. Heifers, 266 to 238. 600 to 700 pound steers, 233 to 273. Heifers, 244 to 218. And your 700 to 800 pound steers were 217 to 243. And heifers were 223 to $2. Packer cows were pretty steady. They brought anywhere from $1.01 to $1.50. Packer bulls brought from $1.17 to $1.46. Young stocker cows, tight bags, brought anywhere from $1.08 to $1.72. bred cows were $1,450 to $1,700, and the pairs we had Friday brought it anywhere from $1,150 to $1,975, sir.
Good. Are you aware of anything for this Friday yet?
I know some small bunches of calves coming this next week. No big bunches, but I do know some small ones, and they sure add up fast.
Good deal. Tell everybody how to get a hold of you, Rodney Butler.
Call me at 361-358-1727 or call me on my mobile, 645-5002.
Texas neighbor, thank you for listening to Walking the Pens here on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network. I'm Larry Marble. Good day to you.
Thanks, Larry. Back over to the futures market where lean hogs finished mixed. Nearby May hogs up 12 at 94.15, while the June contract was unchanged, 102.47. Class 3 milk closed higher. May milk up 27 cents, 18.35 a hundredweight. Cotton was hit hard with end-of-the-month selling as well as new interest rate fears. That caused the July contract to drop 309 points. It closed at 78.43. October cotton down 179, 77.26, with December down 142, 76.83 cents. Corn continues to trade in a sideways pattern. The May contract up a quarter penny, closing at 439.5. July corn down 2.5, 446.75, with September down 2.75, 455.75. Second day of big losses in wheat. After having one of the best weeks we've seen in a long time last week, we've seen big pullbacks this week. Maybe it's because there's a lot of rain on the way to the southwestern U.S. plains over the next 5 days. USDA did release the latest crop ratings on Monday, showing 49% of the nation's winter wheat crop rated good to excellent. That is down 1 point from last week. Hard wheat finishing sharply lower. May Kansas City wheat down 21 cents, 6.22¾. July down 15 and a quarter, 6.35¼. May soft wheat in Chicago down 5¼ at 5.85 a bushel. In the energy markets, June natural gas was down 4 cents at $1.98. June West Texas crude oil down 89 at $81.74 a barrel. The financial markets sharply lower. The Dow dropping 426 points, 37,959. The NASDAQ down 192 points, 15,790. The S&P down 50 at 5,065. That wraps up our look at the markets, and that wraps up this episode of Texas Ag Today. I'm Kerry Martin. Hope to see you back here next time as we cover the most important industry in this greatest state in the U.S. of A, Texas agriculture.
Thanks for joining us for Texas Ag Today. Be sure to follow the Texas Ag Today podcast, found wherever you listen to podcasts. For more Texas farm and ranch news, check out our website at texasfarmbureau.org or tfbradio.com. Texas Ag Today is a production of the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.